guns, ammunition, and a chilling note. Just some of the evidence new warrants list in the Raleigh mass shooting.
There's just a mountain of evidence.
What a defense attorney says stands out to him most about the new findings. Plus, new tonight, Durham Public Schools employees could learn what next year's pay could look like. We're live where they're rallying for change.
Here comes the rain and the chill. When to grab your umbrella for heavy showers and when to grab your jacket to bundle up for temperatures in the 30s.
Search warrants released today are taking us inside the 2022 Raleigh mass shooting in a way we haven't seen before. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. So we are going to share the details of these warrants with you, and not for the shock value of it, though some of it is shocking, but also to identify the behaviors and the specifics so that parents and friends and others in the community know the red flags.
As you'll see, there were many in the Thompson household. Here's WRAL's Matt Tallhill.
These new search warrants reveal what investigators discovered in the teenage suspect's home here in the Headingham neighborhood and in the search history on his smartphone.
The mountain of evidence must be unbelievable that's involved with this case.
Lee Turner is a former Raleigh police officer who's now a defense attorney. We asked him to review the search warrants that describe the evidence investigators are collecting in their case against Austin Thompson. He was just 15 years old when police say he shot and killed five people in the Headingham neighborhood and on a nearby greenway.
One thing that really stood out to me is this wasn't an instantaneous thing. There was some premeditation and planning that went into it.
The warrants list evidence seized from the Thompson family home in Headingham. Detectives found 11 guns and more than 160 boxes of ammunition. They took computers and hard drives. They also found what appears to be a confession note signed by Austin describing the killing of his brother James inside the home. From there, investigators say Thompson went on a shooting spree before being tracked down to the shed and taken into custody. The search warrants also reveal what Thompson was allegedly searching on his phone during the incident. The warrants say he searched for active shooter NC, previous mass killings, age of suspects, weapons used in violent crime, and police response tactics, including 10 codes, which are short phrases police use to communicate quickly over the radio.
Probably he was trying to decipher exactly what they were saying and what these codes meant as to how it pertained to him.
The search warrants also described Thompson as an avid gamer. I asked Turner why investigators would mention that.
Whether there's some mental issues with this young man, I don't know. We're not privy to that. But I think that's why the gaming would probably be thrown in, just to show another aspect of where he was mentally or what might have possibly contributed to this.
Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Now, we also need to talk about Thompson's parents in this case, specifically Austin's father. He faces misdemeanor failure to store a firearm charges. This charge draws comparison, some of you might think, to the Michigan school shooting case. WRAL's Chris Lovingood heard today from the Wake County District Attorney. Chris, wondering what she had to say about all this.
Well, Dan, we couldn't get DA Lauren Freeman on camera, but she did provide a statement. Again, this is about the parents of Ethan Crumbly, the convicted school shooter in Michigan. Freeman said the facts and evidence in that case are key to understand here. Because of what played out there, that is what made Crumbly's parents' manslaughter conviction possible. Freeman also noted Crumbly's parents didn't cooperate with authorities during the case, and there was negligence at play, which means, for example, warnings were not heeded. And that is why Freeman ended her statement with, quote, "While it is inappropriate for me to comment on the currently pending case involving Thompson, the public record would reflect significant differences in that case." Now, the Crumbly convictions are a landmark outcome in our country where school shootings happen far too often. And there are people who believe that parents of school shooters should be held responsible. But again, Freeman says what happened in Michigan and what happened in Headingham here locally have important differences you have to note.
Absolutely. Chris Lovingood, thank you so much. So there you have it. And again, there's no getting around that letter. It is horrifying. We have weapons and ammunition, internet, search history, video games. On their own, I mean, these things could be seen as innocent, right? Guns are legal. Teenagers are curious people, and millions play video games. But taken together in this case, they may point to something else entirely. We really don't know for sure. Investigators are still looking for those answers.
Right now, the Durham Public School Board is meeting about how staff will be paid next school year. The school board is looking into a new salary schedule. WRAL's Carly Haynes joining us now live outside of that meeting. Carly, we've been covering a lot of these meetings. What's the significance of this one?
Well, this really matters to people right now. Some of these workers have actually made a data visualization of just how much this pay issue has affected them. And the purpose of the salary schedule that they're going to be discussing tonight is to give these classified staff workers raises while still being within the budget. And that was the whole problem with the previous salary schedule, which caused DPS to have to pull back, leading to rallies and even canceled school days. So we are seeing a ton of people at this meeting right now. And some of the people here, they don't want a new pay schedule. They want the previous one because it gave many of them some big raises. Unfortunately, that was the one that DPS didn't budget for. It was found to not be feasible with its implementation, leading to this whole pay issue that we've been covering. But this group feels as though they were promised that money.
Carly, didn't the board just grant them an 11% raise? What about that?
So they did have an 11% fixed raise, but some people are still not getting paid as much as they were promised back in October. So it still is a pay cut for them. We were actually just speaking with an instructional assistant who said some employees are so disappointed by this that they're thinking about leaving the district altogether.
A lot of resignations so far. It's hard to continue to work for, you know, a company that feels like they don't really care about you, but when you love what you do, it's hard to really turn your back on it.
And if the board accepts the comptroller's recommendation tonight, then the interim superintendent will know what to put in her proposed budget at the next meeting. Back to you.
I know you'll stay following it. Carly Haynes reporting live in Durham. Thank you.
Some new information right now in the WRAL Live Center about a kidnapping investigation started down here in Lumberton. The suspect with two kids in the car drove about 100 miles up to Raleigh. Take a look at your screen. This is video from Sky 5. This all ended near Brentwood and I-440. On the right side, Sky 5 was there just moments after one of those kids was taken from the crashed car to the ambulance to be checked out. The brand new information right now at 7 o'clock is from Lumberton Police on your screen. This is the statement now confirming that kidnapping. The police department investigating the alleged kidnapping of two children, 1 and 4, from the Econo Lodge there in Lumberton. The suspect taken into custody, the children taken to the hospital to be evaluated. I did ask if the man involved in this was the father of the two kids in a child custody situation, and our sources say that is not the father. Back to you.
Yeah, it was quite a scene to watch play out, Mark. Thank you so much. So let's take a look here. This is the system that's going to be moving toward our way. The chances of storms on deck for around this time tomorrow. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center, and this rain seems all but guaranteed.
Yes, tomorrow night we have 100% chance of rain. We're talking 1 to 1.5 inches of rain possible. So this will be a pretty hearty round of rain for us. Tomorrow morning we'll wake up to more clouds, not a full overcast just yet, and the first half of the day is going to be completely dry. I would say through 2 o'clock, you're pretty good to go if you have any outdoor plans. But by 3 o'clock, kids are heading home. We could see a few isolated showers popping up. Those chances grow a bit as we get toward 5-6 o'clock. Not everybody will have rain for the evening commute, but the radar will be blossoming with more activity. And then around and after dinner time, the rain really becomes widespread and it only gets heavier with time. So by the time we get to midnight, we have widespread rain on the map and some pockets of heavier rain as well. Now we are keeping an eye on the rain lingering into Saturday, and we have some new positive trends to tell you about with the rain moving out faster. I'll have more on that coming up.
Positive trends. Kat, thank you. So while the players compete for championships, universities compete for a payday. Not even the start of the NCAA tournament can stop the business of college sports. These days, that mostly means lawsuits. Clemson sued the ACC this week. The league then countered, suing Clemson right back. WRAL's investigative sports reporter Brian Murphy spoke with officials at UNC to gauge their feelings. Clemson and Florida State are publicly trying to leave the league, so all eyes are on UNC.
Brian, what are they telling you about this? What are you hearing?
They're watching the situation closely. At least one official, John Pryor, the chairman of the UNC Board of Trustees, is not happy with the league. He told WRL that the league is not acting in the best interest of top teams like UNC, Clemson, Florida State, and instead propping up the bottom of the league. He called this a gross abdication of responsibility.
So they're not happy. They don't think that, the ACC is doing the right thing. What is the right thing? What do they mean by that? Does it come down to money?
Yeah, most of this comes down to money. The SEC and the Big Ten are pulling so far ahead in the money game, but also in the influence game. They are setting the rules for college athletics moving forward, and no school, including a big brand like North Carolina, wants to be left behind.
Now, again, UNC hasn't made any kind of decision here. They haven't said we're leaving or anything like that. When you look at the other schools who are making these decisions, UNC is like the lone fruit hanging on the tree. It's going to be a loan.
Yeah, they are the number one target of the SEC and the Big Ten. Now, they've been very careful not to criticize the league, unlike Florida State, but the school is studying its options. Lawyers are going through ACC contracts, trying to find a way out. Like I said, they are the biggest prize, and UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham told me UNC will not be left behind. When the dust settles, they'll be in one of these premier destinations.
So how long can this keep going with the lawsuits, the teams wanting to leave? This feels like they need to come to a solution here pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has circled kind of 2030 on their radar. I mean, part of the problem is we don't know what college athletics is going to look like in a few years. So I don't think these lawsuits will get settled anytime soon. But there is definitely a strong pull to the ACC from North Carolina. As Hubert Davis said yesterday, my hope is that the conference not only will stay together, but will get even stronger. That may be wishful thinking at this point.
But we'll have to pay close attention. That's why we have you around.
Thank you.
Brian, thanks, man.
The new face of weight loss drugs, Oprah Winfrey. She left Weight Watchers. She's at the front of the weight loss drug bandwagon now. Up next, the ripple effects this could have on the industry that's already on an enormous win streak. By now, you've seen this headline, Oprah leaving the Weight Watchers board of directors, announcing she is using a weight loss drug. You know, the ones that we're talking about, Wegovy, Ozempic, Mounjaro, Zepbound. And before you say the drug companies are buying her allegiance, consider this. Oprah never said which drug she is taking, which company is getting her money. That could change, but the point isn't which drug she endorses. It's that she's endorsing the drugs at all. Oprah is one of a kind, we know that, right? But for years of her life, she battled something quite common, obesity.
I couldn't work out anymore. I mean, like, I can't climb any faster or run any faster. I was down to eating one meal a day. There's nothing else I can do. So if whatever works for you, I think one of the reasons I wanted to do it is that I let people make their own choices.
Millions of people can relate to that, right? 31% of Americans are overweight. 42% are obese. That can lead to type 2 diabetes, heart disease, sleep apnea, even some cancers. We often think of it as a condition, but Oprah wants us to think of it as a disease.
People understand obesity is a disease, and so stop blaming yourself for something that's in your brain. Stop shaming yourself and other people for that.
She's been saying this a lot this week after a primetime special on ABC. And, you know, it is a disease. The American Medical Association declared it so in 2013. The CDC and NIH both recognize obesity as a disease. It's an important distinction, right? It means sheer willpower won't always be enough to treat it. Enter the popular drugs. A Pew Research study found 3/4 of Americans have heard a lot or a little about Ozempic, Wegovy, and other similar drugs. But you don't need to study to know that they are popular, right? You just look at the stock market. Eli Lilly, Novo Nordisk have seen huge gains over the last 2 years. You see those bar graphs right there? Both pharmaceutical companies have successful weight loss drugs. These drugs are only going to get more popular, especially with Oprah on board. I spoke to a UNC pharmacy professor about the Oprah effect, the money, and the future of weight loss drugs.
Dr. Ferrari, thanks for chatting with me about this topic that it seems is now, if it wasn't already very much everywhere, it really is now with Oprah Winfrey talking about it so freely.
Yeah, I think what Oprah Winfrey has done is she has really elevated or brought to awareness that obesity is a chronic medical condition. What this does is it allows conversation. I think what it allows patients to see themselves in Oprah's story that, oh, I'm struggling just like she is, and empowers them to begin a conversation with their doctors or with their pharmacist about what can they do regarding their obesity journey. And is this medication or are these medications a good fit for them?
What about on a macro level, as we see a huge windfall come to these pharmaceutical manufacturers, to the insurance industry, these industries that are for many people disliked because of how much profit they make off of these drugs?
Yeah, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And these medications, when they have the power behind a powerful celebrity like Oprah Winfrey touting its success for her, there's going to be a lot of people who will want to try it. And the industry loves when they get those powerful celebrities behind them because it increases their profit margins. And that's why I think you need to go into it thinking about as it's just one part of the equation. It's not a magic pill. It's not a magic medication. And knowing that we have a medication that can help with reduce those health risks and reduce obesity, I think that's something that we as a country and politically, you know, need to think through. Are we willing to pay for prevention? Or are we only willing to pay for treatment? And our country right now is not typically funded through a prevention healthcare mechanism. We are funded through a treatment healthcare mechanism.
Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate your time.
You know, it's not just money that you have to consider in the long term. There are still questions about whether people could become over-reliant on obesity drugs. Another UNC professor told CNBC, "I am a firm believer that persons with obesity should really have a lifestyle-based program. The research, however, is scant at best. With the combination of lifestyle plus these newer medications, we certainly need more to understand these gaps in the science. One thing we know for sure, more people are going to want these drugs." Just listen to what an obesity medicine physician told Lena Tillett during an episode of On the Record last month.
"Experts believe that this class of drug is going to be the most prescribed drug in the history of medicine."
You can watch that OTR episode right now. Just go to WREL.com and search On the Record. So what we learned this week, more studies, more considerations about cost and insurance. There's more work to do here, and Oprah Winfrey's star power may have just opened the floodgates to that work.
Oh, my goodness. Keep going. I want to know more. I mean, what a fascinating topic. Let's pivot to this, though, because we got Friday tomorrow. People are looking to start the weekend, and it's going to be joined by a little rain.
Yes, and I will say this. Look at all the 0% rain chances. So through lunchtime and even through the early afternoon, you're not going to see a lot of rain, but by tomorrow evening, grab the umbrella, move dinner plans inside, move any outdoor plans inside as well. We've got 100% chance for rain by tomorrow night. So this is going to be a good soaking round of rain for everyone. The good news here is it will help with the pollen count. It was very high today in tree pollen, mulberry, pine, oak, and maple. In fact, I want to dive a little bit deeper into today's pollen count for a quick moment. The pollen count was over 2,000, and this is the earliest that we have ever had a pollen count in our area, over 2,000, and it is the fourth highest pollen count ever recorded during the month of March. We've got an inch to an inch and a half of rain to provide some relief, though. That'll be nice to help cleanse the air. The bulk of this is actually going to come while a lot of folks are sleeping tomorrow night throughout the overnight hours into Saturday morning. So here's where the system is now. It's an area of low pressure that's going to be tracking through the Gulf Coast states and eventually across the southeast. Notice the white here. This is the upper level clouds. It'll start as just some thin cloud cover moving in tonight, but we'll see the clouds thicken up throughout the day tomorrow. Mostly cloudy skies during the day tomorrow before the rain arrives. Not a full overcast until lunchtime into the afternoon. Still at 2 o'clock, we're mostly dry, but by 3, 4, or 5 o'clock, we begin to see a few showers popping up, perhaps an isolated rumble of thunder. Rain is pretty widespread after dinner time, and we'll see continue continuous rain midnight, some heavier bands of rain, and the heaviest rain falling overnight midnight through about 6 a.m. There could be some rumbles of thunder overnight. So if you have pets or children who are not a big fan of storms, just a heads up, you may have some extra buddies in your bed by the morning hours with a few rumbles of thunder possible. 8 a.m., we still have a good amount of rain, though it's lightening up. And then the trends have shown less rain sticking around during the day. On Saturday, it's cloudy still, and it would be more in the form of some spotty showers during the day Saturday. So really, the soaking should end by the morning hours on Saturday. If you're headed to the beach tomorrow, it's still going to be wet, especially during the evening hours at the coast. And into Saturday, at least it's warmer at the coast. There are showers and some thunderstorms likely Saturday as well. For us, those storms could come overnight. We're not under severe weather threat, though, as of right now. Sunday, it's a windy day expected, 59, the high, 30s again for lows. And once we get to next week, we'll see some near normal highs return. It will overall be a windy weekend. Keep that in mind, so hold on to your hats.
All right, Kat, thank you. The first handful of games of the NCAA tournament are in the books. Is your bracket busted yet? If so, you're not alone. We're going to check in on the WRAL bracket pool next. All right, before we go tonight, let's talk about some brackets for a moment. A bunch of the WRAL anchors participate in the NCAA tournament bracket pool. No sports gambling here, just good old-fashioned fun, a little bit of pride on the line. So far, so good. No massive upsets just yet.
Why do we all put our hands like this? I just don't understand it.
Not me. I'm in the pockets. Very cash.
A whole lot of us have UNC winning, so clearing that 16-seed hurdle was important. 9 of us took Oregon to beat South Carolina. The only perfect bracket remaining so far is Brian Schrader's.
Not surprised.
I know.
He's perfect.
He's so good.
We'll see. It's a long tournament, Schrader. All right. Thank you so much. Hopefully, we got some big games on tonight. NC State?
Yeah. Good luck, NC State. Yeah. Let's go.
We appreciate you being with us here on WRAL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.